T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Lisa Stanley, your Rent-A-Yenta, and I have never been more excited to tell you who's on today's episode of What Goes On Around Here. Chrissy Metz, that's who? That's right, one of the stars of This Is Us. Oh, we're going to talk, boy. We're going to talk about her new movie, Breakthrough, her book, which, by the way, went to number one on the New York bestseller list, and how her life has changed since getting the role of Kate on This Is Us. Hi, Chrissy Metz. I'm so excited. Chrissy Metz from This Is Us is here.
Hi.
Finally. This has been a long time. I've been begging and begging your publicist. Don't be sorry. I am so grateful that you stopped by to be on my little podcast, What Goes On Around Here.
Of course. It's my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
I want people to know what you'll see when I put the picture up. She's really beautiful. I mean,
oh, geez,
really beautiful.
Thank you.
Just stunning in person. And
thank
I
you.
Love your dress.
Thanks.
I'm hoping that you're going to one day make your own clothing line.
Yeah, there's some talks about that.
I'm
yeah, I would
it's
love
time
that.
To do that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you pair up with Christian...
Siriano, who's
yes.
awesome.
And
I wear a lot of Eloquy, so...
Either or, yeah.
I love them. I love what they're doing for plus-size women. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard because not everybody wants to dress plus-size women.
Well, we saw that with Leslie Jones, even.
Right.
And she's
and
not
and
even...
she's plus-size? Come on.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
Right, so...
So
we got to change the narrative, folks.
Well, I hope you're
yeah.
about to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just get everybody up to Chrissy Parr, if you will. I'll do the humble bragging for you. So don't worry about it.
Okay, good, because I can't.
But let's tell people who don't know about your beginnings, and that is that you lived in Japan.
Yeah.
Until you were 8 years old.
Yeah.
Did you speak fluent Japanese?
Sadly, I was learning English, but I do not remember anything really like
Konnichiwa.
Well, Konnichiwa. Yeah, and you know, small little phrases and a couple of numbers. But my mom, much better. You know, obviously she was an adult when she lived there. But sad but true, I don't remember. I know.
What a
womp,
shame,
womp,
right?
Womp. I know.
Oh,
I know.
That is a shame.
I know.
It's okay.
I know.
Did you like it there?
I loved it. And I also was the youngest child, so I was spoiled with incredibly amazing Japanese toys.
How many kids are in the family?
There's five. I was the youngest of three for a time. Then my mom had two other daughters. So yeah, of course, you know, that's why I needed to be an actress, right? I didn't get enough attention at home.
But that's not how it is. Yeah, but you know
no,
what?
No.
That's funny you would say that you didn't get enough attention, because I think I read somewhere that all you ever did was try to make people smile.
Yeah.
And so you would come in with impressions.
Sure.
What kind of impressions would you do?
Oh, literally anything. Anyone, any person, any actor I would see.
Give us one.
Oh, I knew you were going to do this. It's really not necessarily like celebrities, but just like I love to just like impersonate.
Like a car. Oh, like a person, like someone in your house. You
yeah,
mean.
Anyone.
Like
I would always.
Mom or
yeah,
your sister.
For sure.
Okay.
Anyone and anything. And I also, yeah, I guess I wanted attention, right? So I would just be silly and zany. And my sisters and I would always like. We'd record as like we were newscasters on the boob. Like it was like just ridiculous.
Did you take
stuff.
The hairbrush and do
oh,
like,
sure.
the microphone?
Oh sure.
Because that's what I did.
Oh.
Are
yeah.
you kidding?
The hairspray can, the
yeah.
hairbrush, sure.
But I would sing Tom Jones. Not unusual to be lovely. I think I was gonna be some singer with that voice.
Listen, I believe anybody can sing.
Well, you sure can. We're going to talk about that, too, in just a minute. But I read somewhere that you said that you wanted to be Jim Carrey when you grew up. What part of Jim Carrey did you want to be?
Well, I just thought that there was something so real about him. I also knew that he went through a lot in his life, and that he, of course, comedy stems from tragedy, and he does that so well. And he's just funny, and he's silly, and I feel like really in touch with.
Have you met him yet?
I have not.
What?
I know. Could you believe it?
Hello, Z.
I know.
We have to make that happen.
I know. I feel like I've met so many wonderful people, but I've yet to meet Jim Carrey. I know.
Gosh, we got to make that happen, Anthony.
I just think he's a genius.
We got to make that happen for Chrissy.
He's a genius.
You know, he lives not too far from me.
No.
I'm just saying we could go right by his house.
Okay.
Is that illegal, you think? You think that's a problem?
No, I mean, maybe if we, like, put it out there, like, hey, need you some help with, like, your trash cans or something?
Jim, we'll come. We'll sweep the yard.
Then it won't be so awkward.
Well,
I'm happy to do it.
Sweep the yard, right?
I'm not going to sweep any yard. I will rake a yard, and I can sweep a driveway. But, you know, I'm traumatized because I had a lot of chores when I was a kid, but I'm really good at them.
Okay.
Jim, if you need some help.
What kind of chores did you have as a kid?
Everything.
When you were the baby, you were the coveted one. How did you get
the coveted one? No, absolutely not. No, I had lots of chores.
Well, like you mean making your bed?
Everything.
Okay. I mean, did you get allowance?
This is the funniest thing to me in life that people ask if I... Listen, when you are come from very humble beginnings, like, you're allowed to live there. I don't think you get an allowance. You don't get money for doing what you're supposed to do. My mom... Yeah, right. She looked at me like I had two heads. No, we wouldn't even... No, definitely not. No, but I did dishes and sweep the driveway and laundry. Like, all sorts of things.
At what age did those chores begin?
Oh, goodness. Probably 10.
I think, you know what? I personally think that's really great. I learned how to make my bed at 5.
What?
At 5, my mother was teaching me hospital corners. Well, I'm lying. It's not my mother. It was the housekeeper. But anyway,
still,
she wanted
that's impressive.
Her job a little less work, so she taught me how to make the corners on the bed.
Oh, my grandma was so good at those.
Oh, aren't they the best?
I haven't mastered them.
Oh, they're so much fun when you do them. But probably you don't make the beds anymore since you had to do it so much as a child.
Well, not that I'm above that. My best friend just made a comment, folks.
What? What?
He goes, I heard it because I hear everything and I have eyes in the back of my head. I know exactly what he was saying. Let's be very
You're
clear.
You're very busted over there.
Yeah, that's right, Donald Berry.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Because that's what I have to do.
Okay,
no, I don't make the bed right now. However, I can, folks. I'm still capable of... said chore.
Something tells me you're capable of many chores still.
Thank you.
Donald.
Thank
Barry.
You.
Thank
Let's
get you. That last name in there.
That's right.
All right, look, so now you're in high school, you graduate high school, and you end up going on a casting call, right, with your sister.
It was an open, random open call from the radio.
And what happened?
So my sister, who wanted to be a print model, asked if I could take her and her best friend to the open call. And I'm like, at this random hotel in Gainesville, Florida. I'm like, okay, right, sure, whatever. And though in my heart, I was like, oh my gosh, like this could, like, what if, I don't know.
Were you really, was that, were you thinking that way?
Well, yeah,
that?
Because here's the thing. In school, I was always like in chamber choir or in choir, but I was so afraid to do like theater, even though, because everybody in my high school was, whether it was band or it was musical theater, they were like amazing.
And you went to high school in Florida, right?
Yeah, Buchholz,
So you left Japan and then you moved to Florida.
Right, came back to Florida, went to Gainesville. And so the high school, just everybody was talented. And I was afraid of my own shadow. And I was like, I cannot. I'm not even going to audition for the musical theater because are you kidding? And so... in my heart, though, I was like, I want to tell stories and I want to sing songs and I want to do all these things.
Of course, because you'd been doing it as a child. You'd been entertaining people every chance you got.
Right, right. And so when my sister asked if I could take her, I was obviously very excited, but, you know.
I get it.
But I'm too afraid. So there's a woman who was sitting across from me. She had this weird hat on, and I tell the story all the time, but she was filling out paperwork and I thought, okay, she's like a random woman. And she said, oh, I taught at your high school. I'm like, no, you didn't. I don't even know who you are. And you don't. She was like, I was in the theater department. I was like, I wasn't in the theater department, so I don't know you. And she's like, well, I think you're here for a reason. I'm like, okay.
One of those.
Yeah, you're okay. What is happening? And so in the meantime, my sister comes out of the room. That lady disappears. I don't know where she went. I was like, oh, okay. I ask everyone, like, where's the lady in the hat? They're like, we don't know who you're talking about. So my sister comes out, my then manager, soon to be my then manager, is like, what are you doing here? And I said, oh, I'm just taking my sister here. And she's like, you don't sing, you don't act, you don't do anything. I'm like, no. In my heart, I was like, please get me out of here. Like, please help me to escape.
Right.
Yeah. But I was, of course, too afraid to say anything. And my sister was like, Chrissy, you do sing. Sing something. And I'm like, oh, God. And I
what
just
What did you sing?
I think it was Reflection from Mulan.
Oh my God!
Don't ask
really
me to sing it now.
You went for the tough one.
No, it's just what came to mind. Because, like, listen, if someone tells you to sing and it's your opportunity and your audition, you better have something in your pocket. I don't know where that came from, but Fa Mulan.
Wow.
Okay, anyway, and so I sang, and she's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I don't know. And so lo and behold, she ends up, you know, signing us. So we end up training and coming out to LA to do a big workshop. But my sister never did any modeling.
Oh,
she wasn't really interested. Like it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hustle and grind. And she's a wonderful mother now. And
it wasn't her. Her calling.
No, I don't think she's too sad about it either.
Okay, so when did you teach? Because I know you were a teacher.
Yeah, so I taught preschool prior to meeting my manager.
Okay,
for about 5 years. And then, so
did you think that was going to be it? You were just going to be a teacher for your whole life, get married? You had plans to be married? Anything?
No, not necessarily.
No, just teaching.
Yeah, I was like, I want to. I mean, for me, I think that children in particular are so impressionable, and it's so important to start on the right foot and to make sure that, you know, and I just always felt sort of alone as a kid. And so it's really important for me.
It's interesting that you say that with four siblings, that you felt alone.
Yeah, I felt very different.
And I know what you mean when you say that.
Yeah.
You could be sitting right next to the person and feel alone.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though, that you were aware of it.
Yeah, and of course, as an adult, I'm like, oh, it was me. It wasn't them. But, you know, I had to come to terms with what it is that I wanted and my whole lot in life. So, yeah, I have the most incredible time teaching preschool, and I love kids. And now I have almost 9 nieces and nephews, one's on the way.
Christmas is fun at the house.
Oh, it's so fun, but it's it's hard because I want to buy like the right
everything,
gifts and,
right?
And everything.
And everything. I know exactly what you mean. I have a few nieces myself, so I know exactly
it's
what
tricky,
you mean.
But
it
is. So right, before
I
moved to LA.
So you come to LA, mm-hmm. and you're not getting a lot of action, though, right?
You can't even consider, nothing. a big old nothing. I was living in a 2-bedroom apartment with five other girls. So there are 3 girls
it's
to
like
each
a
room.
Dorm.
Oh, yeah. On air mattresses. It was actually the most fun. It was like pilot season camp. However, when you're broke and you're taking everybody on auditions that you'd like to go to, it's tricky. It's hard. And then my manager says, oh, well, your agent needs an assistant. And I'm like, a who?
Right.
Okay, great. And she's like, no, you're going to do that. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, what? And what does this mean? Like, you don't believe in me? Like, I couldn't. What? And she's like, no, you should just go and see what you can learn and figure out and make sure all the clients are getting submitted. I'm like, oh, great. Okay.
You probably felt like it was a demeaning situation,
absolutely.
Right? But bravo to you for leaving your ego out of it and doing what you had to do.
Well, I had to. If I wanted to stay in LA, I had to keep a job. And
a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to not do what you did. I mean, that's why you're who you are today.
No.
Because you took the risk.
Yeah.
And you said, all right, I'm going to do it. And then tell everybody what happened.
So for 9 years,
right?
You know, I took
like
a bit of a detour.
9 weeks.
Not 9 weeks, folks. Not 9 months. 9 years.
I mean, come on.
I took a bit of different.
Now you see what I mean when I say she checked the ego at the door. Okay.
Well, you have to. And Los Angeles will definitely help you do that very quickly. Hollywood is, it's not for the faint of heart.
It sure is.
No,
not for sissies, as
no,
I like to
it's,
say.
It's not for sissies.
So 9 years later, 2014, American Horror Story. Was that the first thing that rolled around?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple of small co-stars, but that Horror Story was the first arc, the first multiple episode show I'd ever done.
And did they make you wear a fat suit?
Yes.
It
was actually.
What in the hell?
Well, you know, here's the thing. So Ima Wiggles was the character who, Barbara is her name, but the character was the fat woman of the circus. And like for the first time, I wasn't big enough to be the big girl, which is like ironic. I can't even talk
How
about
did
it.
What did that feel like for you?
Well, it was weird. It was
right?
It was a mind F.
Isn't
because
that
like
weird?
You put the suit on, you're like, oh, I can eat whatever I want because nobody's going to see anything. I'm like, oh no, the suit comes off, baby girl. But also, what was interesting is because I got stuck in my trailer once.
You couldn't get out because the fat suit was so fat?
Okay, so it's right. So it's prosthetic. It's like wearing a couch, essentially. And you can't see your feet. And you know, like, But I realized that, like, okay, like, this is something that there are people who are truly contending with this.
Yes,
and
in real
listen,
life.
I'm not any better. It could be me at some point, right? And so I thought, oh my goodness, like, I'm learning so many things about not only myself, my career, and me as a person, as an actress, but there was a lot of, it was a huge learning curve. I'm also sharing a screen with Jessica Lange.
Right.
And Angela Bassett and Kathy
Hello,
Bates.
Z.
Yeah. So just like thrown into all that. But I mean, it is very funny looking back. Like I legitimately couldn't get out of my trailer and we had to like squish the suit in to like, you know, depuff it.
Was it heavy to wear?
It wasn't heavy. It was very cumbersome. So it was like a vest and then the breasts were weighted with like bird seed.
Oh dear. That's all we need.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get a mammogram and a pedicure at the same time now. I mean, I need something down there further.
Right.
I mean, come on.
And then we put pants on and those had like suspenders. So it was a whole thing.
And
but it was really cool.
That would have been so freaky for me. I would be claustrophobic in something like that.
Yeah, you definitely,
right?
Things change. You walk differently. You can't sit in some places. Like there's a whole.
Restrictions.
Yeah, the restrictions. Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, and by the way, is it true that the very first time you wore a swimsuit was when you were 38?
No.
This is what I'm trying
to tell people.
Please set the record straight.
I have no idea. You know, people like to make their own little stories up. And while that's cute, it's not accurate.
Good.
So yes, I've worn a bathing suit since I was a kid. I grew
I'm
up on a peninsula.
To myself, you grew like, up in Florida.
Yeah, come on. I think what they're trying to say is that because I said, you know, at 38, like I don't care what people think. And there's a lot of women, a lot of men who don't feel comfortable going on a vacation, who are afraid to even wear a swimsuit in public. So
men,
perhaps
you're looking at a woman over here scared to death to try them on.
Right.
Okay.
Which is banana pants.
No.
But like,
it's not.
But it's all relative. This is what I'm absolutely. It's how we feel about ourselves. And for me, I was like, at some point, I'm going to lose experiences because I'm afraid of what other people think about me. And like,
High five, girl. I
just don't really care about that anymore.
You should never care.
Because I posted a picture of Donnie and I on a vacation, they're like, oh my God, she's never worn a swimsuit. Not true. I've worn them. I've worn them without t-shirts. I've worn them.
Proud.
Yeah. Like,
proud,
who cares?
As you should.
Who cares?
Who cares what people say?
My gosh.
All right. So after the fat suit to American Horror Story.
Right.
Which ends, right, after one season,
yeah,
right?
I did 5 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you had a little trouble again, right?
Yeah. So there was about a year break before This Is Us even came about where I wasn't sure if I should, right, do I take a leap of faith and
yeah,
go?
Yeah, you were thinking of maybe blowing it off, weren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I was like, okay, do I go back home? Like, maybe this isn't the jumping off point I thought I was going to have. And then I also was an agent. You know, I came back to make sure all my clients were taken care of and make sure that people had homes, you know, to make sure that they were going to still be submitted. And then nothing happened for like a whole year. And I thought, okay.
Discouraging.
Yeah, super discouraging.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought, like, and my mom said, you can either be miserable in L.A. or be miserable in Gainesville, but at least in L.A. you're pursuing your dream. And I'm like, yeah, that's cute to say,
you,
Mom.
You
yeah,
know
yeah.
what, though? That's some good advice
but
your mom gave you.
Incredible advice. And I'm so glad that she said that because it really helped to sort of just ground me in that I've come this far. I can't give up now.
Right. Thank God you didn't. Huh?
Thank God.
And yeah. then you get the call.
And then my friend says,
with 80 cents in your bank account and no gas in your car.
Correct.
So how the heck did you get there?
My friend let me borrow money to get gas.
I bet that friend has been paid back.
Yes. Yes, she has. Yes, she has.
And you go on the audition. And did you feel like when you auditioned, this was your role?
I didn't necessarily feel it was my role. I felt like it was a different feeling going in. I always say I felt like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Like I walked into the lot and the security guards were like, good morning. I'm like, good morning. Like I just, something felt different. But when I, of course, got to the room, all the insecurities and the questions and the doubts were like, no. Like you're ever going to be a series lead on a television show.
What was the audition like?
A normal audition.
Dan,
No, it was the first round.
Okay.
So it was the casting director and her associate. And I read through the scenes a couple times and I left. And of course, I see all the same girls who I love and who I want to do well. And I'm like, oh, great. Okay, fine, whatever.
Had like, you sent them on there? Had you casted them on there as an agent?
You know, you? Those girls I did not represent ever at any point. But
did you ever send anyone out for your role?
No. But it's really funny because it felt like it was something special, but then I was like, oh God, that was terrible. Luckily, I got a call back and I had, you know, some redemption, and that was sort of step in the right direction. But then I finally was able to test. So they narrow it down to 5 girls and we test with 5 Kevins. And then I got a call and they were like, oh, we can't decide who.
Oh.
We've already hired Justin Hartley as the role of Kevin, but we can't decide on Kate. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And at that point, that's when I decided to write a letter to the executives and to Dan. And I just said, listen, whatever you decide, I know that's going to be the best decision. But I want you to know that I am this girl. Like, I've played the second fiddle. I've been in the shadow of people. I know what it's like to be in the Hollywood life and so close, but yet so far away. And I just feel really close to her. But thank you so much for this opportunity. And
genius. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, I just...
Listen, this is a genius move.
I just wanted to thank them for the opportunity because I had never been that close to something I wanted so badly. And
but you felt a connection right away with the character,
for sure.
And still, as you're proceeding, what is season four? We're coming up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So do you still feel as the character is growing related to
her? Yeah, absolutely.
Do they take some things from you now and embody them into
Kate? I think that they do, whether
now
we
that
talk
they know
about it or
Chrissy
not.
Is.
Yeah. The music and the singing thing was never going to be initially a part of the story, and when I got the script and they were like, oh, Kate sings at the retirement home. I was like, oh, can I do it? And they're like, oh, yeah. Can
Did
you
they
sing?
Know that you?
No.
Oh, they didn't know.
No. And so it's been really cool to kind of cultivate her aspiring or her aspirations as a singer, much like, you know, of course, Rebecca. And, you know, the whole mother-daughter thing is always
a tricky
thing.
Who's the biggest diva on the set?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Oh. Honestly, nobody.
No one, huh? All right, I tried.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Honestly,
no.
People don't believe it, but it's
true. Do
you
play pranks on each other?
We don't. I mean, we don't.
You're just a real good family.
Yeah.
Oh, boring.
I know. I know. Golly.
All right, so listen. That was a big breakthrough, but not as big as Breakthrough.
Yeah.
Your new movie. My friends have seen it. I have yet to see it. I cannot wait to see it. And first of all, did you produce it? Did you have anything to do with producing this?
No, I did
this?
Not. Devon Franklin was our producer, and Steph Curry executive produced, and Roxanne Dawson directed.
But you do want to produce stuff, right?
Definitely.
You do want to get
I'll
into
dipping the
because this
the
movie
toe
felt
in the water.
Like when I see the trailers, it feels like you to me.
Oh, that's nice.
So tell us about this movie because it's based on a true story, the Joyce Smith story. Is that right?
Yeah.
Based on her memoir, The Impossible.
Yes. So about 4 years ago, there was a story that came around in the news that I knew about. A boy in St. Louis, Missouri, fell through an icy lake. And was submerged for over 15 minutes and then airlifted. So essentially dead without any brain activity or pulse for over 45 minutes.
Which is, by the way, people think about how long Chrissy and I are talking.
Yeah.
This kid's dead.
Right.
Okay? I mean, phenomenal. Wait till you hear it. Go ahead.
So, you know, Joyce gets a phone call that her son had fallen through the lake. And instead of going into that room and saying goodbye because the doctors had nothing else to do, they could do nothing else.
But she's religious. This is very faith, very,
she is a very
good timing for Good Friday and Easter, by the way, because it's very faith-driven.
Exactly.
Yes?
So she's a woman of her very, very strong faith. And she goes in, instead of saying goodbye, she prays over her son because she can't believe that he's gone. And wouldn't you know, he gets a pulse. And
how long was she praying?
Probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes, maybe. And I've since heard from the nurses and some of the doctors who were there, and they said that her prayer and her love, like, just, like, you could hear it and you could feel it inside of the emergency room, which I find incredibly fascinating.
Have you met her?
I did, and we're
all... Have you met him?
Yes, yes. They came on set, the 2 weeks into shooting, and they are the most wonderful people. And
what drew you to this role?
Well, interestingly enough, my mom had a stroke 2 years ago, right before we started shooting the movie. And almost verbatim are the words that I said to my mother's doctors, as Joyce says to John's doctors. And she says, you know, if you don't speak life and positivity on or about or around my son, like, you're, this is unacceptable. And I said that to my mother's doctors, that, like, if you practice and you give a prognosis, but you don't know my mom. And so if you're not going to be positive, if you're not going to say good, whether she can hear you or not, she can hear you, whether you think she can. And I just thought that it would be, not only do I have real life experience in as we all do, unfortunately losing a loved one or potentially losing a loved one, but honoring a true story. Faith has been very important in my life, and honoring my mom and what she went through. So it just made sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, timing was really perfect for that one.
Yeah.
That
was.
And did you enjoy doing a big feature film?
Yeah.
I mean, it's your first big breakout breakthrough.
Yeah.
Let's get that title out there.
It is.
Right?
It was...
Was it different than being on a movie set than
sure.
on a TV set?
Yeah. I mean, we were shooting in Winnipeg, Canada, because we were, of course, chasing the snow and chasing a frozen lake. But... You know, the hours are different. The setups are a little different. We're in a single cam, so the turnaround is very quick. You could be in a scene.
At This Is Us.
And you could be a scene in the film, and the turnaround when they have to set up the dolly track.
Four hours.
Yeah, it could be like a 45-minute turnaround. And so you have to sit in that really emotional state for quite some time, even longer than...
Did you stay in your character the entire time?
I mean, I tried to sort of go in and out because you can't really be that emotional for 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's... it's a lot.
Well, some people method act and they never come out. As you know, Daniel Day-Lewis never breaks character.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. No, I have to.
Good. You're normal.
I don't know, normal.
Well, I think that's normal. You have to go home and have a life and talk to your friends and, you know, do your life.
It's challenging and hopefully it serves me well, but it's...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You got to have a bit of a reprieve. For me,
especially something that deep.
Yeah.
But it was a happy ending. I mean, we're not giving away the ending by saying he lived.
Yeah, right.
We all know he lived. Now, something else you did in this movie, you sang in this movie. Not we're going to get to your other big singing event, but in this movie, you did something with a friend of mine, Diane Warren.
Yes.
Do you not love Diane?
She is the kookiest. Cool.
And that cat. Is that cat the craziest cat you've ever seen?
She
takes that cat everywhere with her. She used to have a bird. She used to take a bird. I am not kidding you. When you see Diane, ask her about the bird.
Yeah.
She used to take a bird and walk around everywhere we went. This bird was
what
on
kind
her
of bird?
Shoulder. She was a parrot.
Oh,
ask her
did
about
it. Speak?
It did. Ask her. You know what it said because you know Diane.
Oh.
Beep. Yes, exactly. You know Diane.
You know, I
you
love
know
that.
The
she,
F word is her
she
favorite
She has no filter,
word.
And I love
None,
that.
None, but she writes beautiful music.
She's
She wrote
legend.
This song. And I do remember reading. Now, maybe this is another thing you'll have to correct. But in the beginning, when she first found out it was you singing it, she wasn't okay with that.
Well, she said... Wait a minute. Are you an actress who thinks that she can sing? Or like, I don't know.
She doesn't like actors who dive into the music world, as you know.
Well, yeah, I think, and I get it. You know, not everybody can do everything or do it really well. And, you know, if you start off in one particular craft, it's hard to kind of cross over. So I understand that. But I was like...
Did you have to audition for her? Did you have to do something?
No, I didn't audition. She wrote the song after she saw the movie. She was so inspired by one of the particular scenes. And
can you tell which scene
inspired her? It's the first responders scene where Pastor Jason Noble invites every single person who was influential and instrumental in saving John's life. So the doctors, the nurses, the EMTs. And so he asks everybody in the congregation to stand up whoever prayed for him in or outside of the church, and literally the entire congregation stands. And so that's why the song is I'm Standing With You.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful song. And no, I didn't have to audition. However, I went there to the studio and I thought we were just going to have a little chat. But she's like, oh, why don't you hop in the booth? And I'm like,
She made you sing
what
it
the
right
heck?
Then and there.
I'm like, I've heard it four times.
That's so Diane.
And it was her work tape. So I was like, oh, great. I'm like, okay. And I thought, Chrissy, just go and do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just go and do it. And Kyle, her engineer, who was so cool, was like, okay, Diane, why don't you leave for a little bit and come back? So she came back and I think she was surprised. That you know
that you could sing so well.
Yeah,
I'm going to be really honest right in this room. I'm going to be really honest.
Tell
right
me,
in
girl.
This room.
Tell me.
I am not going to lie to you. I my mouth dropped to the floor when you came. What was it? The CMAs, ACMs,
ACMs.
You came out there. First of all, I'm like, what is Chrissy Metz doing at a country event?
Well, I love me some country music.
I mean, apparently,
yeah.
And you got out there and belted out. I literally was like, my jaw. I go, that bitch can sing too.
You sound like that.
Yes. I'm just going to be honest with you. I looked at my friends. I go, it's unbelievable. She can act and sing.
Oh, well,
thank you. And you can sing.
Oh, well, thank you.
Girl, you can sing.
Well, music is really my first love. It's something that I've always been changed by and have always wanted to sing, but never, much like Kate on This Is Us, like never really supported or encouraged or kind of...
Well, it seems that way. Everything in your life had been that way except from your mother,
who
was extremely supportive. Is she doing okay now?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she is. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you that.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so you said, how terrifying was that? Tell me about that
moment.
Well,
here's the thing. So... it's most of the anticipation, right?
And by the way, for those of you who didn't see it, she sang the song from Breakthrough.
Right, with Carrie Underwood.
With Carrie Underwood.
Lauren Elena.
Five girls,
yes,
right?
Yes, Mickey Guyton and Maddie and Tay, who are obviously country...
huge.
Country artists.
Country royalty, we call those.
They're
two.
They're just amazing women.
Were you nervous? Were you scared?
Sure, sure. I mean, it's something I hadn't done before, so it's uncharted territory. People don't also... they don't realize what happens and the prep and, you know... holding a stage.
What
with,
is it? Tell us. Fill us in a little so people
for
can
sure.
understand.
So, you know, we have a rehearsal the day before and then we go and we have like a stage, you know, a dress rehearsal. And here's the thing with live television, anything can happen. So sure enough, we're ready. We have all the mix. We're like ready to go. Jason Aldean's finishing up his performance and I can't hear him in my in-ear monitors. And I'm like, I don't understand. Why can't I hear him? Like, I know he's playing. I hear it, the stage shaking.
And you're supposed to hear it so you have a cue, right?
Right. So okay. I have a cue and also so I can hear the music.
Oh, duh.
And, you know, it just helps to not blow your voice out when you
right.
have the monitors in.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't hear anything. And they're like, what are you talking about? They're like, if 10 seconds. And I'm like, I don't think. I'm like, can you guys check? And they're like, well, check what? I'm like, can you see if my pack is attached to my monitor? And they're like... isn't it? And I'm like, I cannot. No, it's not. They're like, 3 seconds. Literally, unzip my dress. My in-ears were not attached to my pack. And I was like, and he was like, we have to go. We have to go. And it's literally like, he's like, clip, zip, as the curtain rises. And I'm like, okay, here we go, folks. And then what
and you're not used to live television,
no,
obviously.
No, I've never done it
before.
Because
you can have 4 takes, 5 takes.
Sure.
Right.
I've never done it before. Also, when he turned the monitor on, my ear monitors, it was like so loud that it sort of like, it took me a minute to adjust.
That must be why those guys pull it out. When you see them on stage.
Sometimes if you hear a mix, like if maybe the drums are too loud and you can't hear yourself, or if it's just what your preference is. So yeah, you definitely have to take them out if you, and that's what of course I would have done, but I really didn't want that. You know, the first time I'm ever on a live
show. As a viewer, never would know any of this is going on, FYI.
Yeah, okay, well, good. And I really was not going to say anything.
That's
but...
where your acting comes in, you see.
Yeah,
that's
I was acting like I had it together, for sure. I had to adjust to the volume, and then I was like, oh, my. And then you turn it down and whatever. The show must go on, as they say.
Well, it went on.
And it was just, you know, sometimes it's about just getting through something and pushing past the fear. And I didn't have any expectations. I was like, Chrissy, if you get through the song, that's a victory for you.
No kidding.
It's something you've never done. So don't be too hard on yourself and just like go, just do it. And I'm just so grateful I had the opportunity because it was so wonderful.
And everybody was talking about it.
Everybody loved it.
It
was very sweet.
Everybody
very kind.
Thought it was great. How afterwards, when it's over, what happens? Do the girls come up to you? Or
oh, sure. Everybody. I mean, the country community is so loving and warm. And they were like, just, oh my goodness, congratulations.
Is that the music you listen to, country music?
I mean, I
mainly?
Listen to all genres of music.
Me too.
Except for like really hardcore.
I don't
hardcore.
Listen to heavy metal.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, that stuff for me, it doesn't vibrate.
Although you are a beatboxer.
I can beatbox.
Could you give us a little beatbox? Come
you
on.
You gonna rap?
I'll rap. I don't know. Okay. I got Chrissy Metz in the house. We're gonna do some dance.
I love that you just went for it. See, most people don't even go for it. I love that.
Well, of course you gotta go
you
for
do,
it.
You do, but not everybody does because we're always sort of afraid. But,
not me.
Well,
no,
I listen, love that.
No shame in my game.
Hey!
None, my
I
friend.
I love that.
I'm way too old to give a crap
oh,
about
God.
What anybody thinks anymore.
I love that. And why should
and
you?
And that is the good thing about aging, I'm just gonna say.
Well, good.
When you get over 40, you just don't give a shit
well,
anymore.
Well, I'm close. I'm getting close.
I mean,
I'm
you know
close.
What I mean?
I'm getting close. I'm not giving a beep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. This, I've been dying to ask you. I know you had lunch at Oprah's house.
I did.
Okay, so 2 things I have to know. What did she serve you? And did she try to get you on her Weight Watchers?
It's so funny. We had a salad, and then we had...
Of course, she serves a salad.
But it was from her garden. Gorgeous, gorgeous lettuce. I think it was butter lettuce.
And it does taste different from the garden,
sure
doesn't
does,
it?
For sure. And then I believe we had... I don't remember if it was zucchini noodles or pasta. I don't remember, but it was all very delicious. Yeah.
And why were you there?
She just wanted to, she's like, you know what? I could read all these things about you, but I'd love to like get to know you.
Can you imagine? Wait a second. Time out. The phone rings. Hello, Chrissy. It's Oprah, darling.
No, it was her chief of staff who called, and I thought my friend was playing a joke.
I would think so too.
I'm like, anyway. And she's like, no, this is really her chief of staff. And I'm like,
out of the blue.
Uh-huh. And I was like,
you never mentioned an interview. Oprah's my favorite. I love her.
I'm sure I have, but I
had you ever met her before?
No.
Get out.
Yeah.
What? I want to come to your house,
but
Oprah.
I surely did manifest meeting her years before and always saying like, oh, I'd love to have a house near Oprah. So who knows? Maybe I manifested it.
So, okay, you go there and she just wants to meet you to chat about you.
We're just chatting.
Did she try to get you on her Weight Watchers?
No.
Come on. No. You know she owns part of the Weight Watchers now.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking in my mind, she tries to get everybody on that Weight Watchers.
I don't think she does. I think that it's, if it makes sense, I'm sure, you know, if it behooves the brand and her, but...
Well, just give me just a little taste of what a conversation is like.
She literally was just like, tell me about you. And I sort of just sat down and chatted as we're chatting. Just talked about my life and...
Told her you lived in Japan and that you couldn't speak any Japanese.
Yeah.
Was she
sure.
bummed?
No. Gratefully, she was not bummed, but she was just so warm.
She's like a real person.
She
People
is
don't
a real
know.
Person.
I've met her, and so I know the warmth that you're talking about.
Yeah, she is a warm, real person, and she doesn't act like Oprah Winfrey. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You think that, like she...
Like, you get a car. Yeah. You get a car.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just a lovely, lovely human being. Who imparts so much wisdom, I think, in everything she says. I'm just like...
Aren't you bummed she's not running for president? I sure am.
Oh.
I would have loved that.
Well, maybe at a
How long
day.
Did you get to spend with her?
I think we have a couple hours.
So what do you send to her afterward? Because I know you, and I know already, I'm sitting here maybe 30 minutes with you, and I know that's what you're going to do. You're going to send her a thank you. If you wrote the casting people and director a letter to say thank you for auditioning, I know Oprah got a gift. What'd you get her?
Oh, I just got some flowers. Just a thank you flowers.
Okay, but I knew you did something. I mean, come on, right?
Wow.
And do you think you'll have lunch with her again?
I don't know. I hope so. She did ask, you know... she said, come back and we can go on a walk or whatever around her beautiful...
Were you in Montecito?
Yeah.
You know, Ellen is her next door neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, she knows.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe she was interested in talking to you because you have a production company.
Not quite yet.
But develop?
We're developing.
Are you looking for projects?
I am, sure.
What kind of projects are you looking for? Let's put it out there.
Yeah, I think it's really about, I mean, for me, my message is, you know, is it going to better whoever sees the particular project, whether it's opening up their heart or their mind or empowering women or, you know, like real stories.
Are you looking to do docu stuff? Are you looking to do feature films,
TV,
of the above?
Features, sure.
Not reality TV or stuff like that?
I don't know. It depends. You know, I think it all just, if it makes sense and if it feels right. But mostly scripted stuff, TV, film. Yeah, and I really like to, I really like true stories. So
me too.
I like to read books and meet people who have, you know, gone through.
I like
through.
True crime stories.
Oh, see, I those things kind of freak me out.
Oh, I wanted to be a profiler. If I didn't do this job, that's what I wanted to
my,
do.
Oh, my manager's obsessed with that kind of stuff,
I'm
too.
Obsessed with it. Obsessed with it. It just, I want to go in their brain and see, what the hell are you thinking?
See, I don't want to. I'm like, I'm not interested. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. No.
Like, I interviewed Jan Broberg. Do you know who she is?
No.
From Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh.
So I had her here on my podcast a few weeks ago. And wasn't that creepy? I mean, I'm talking to Anthony now.
Yeah.
It was so creepy. I had the woman who produced the Abducted in Plain Sight, and then Jan was on the phone, and she sounded, Anthony, did she sound like nothing happened to her? And this woman was abducted. Do you know the story?
Yeah.
Twice by the same man as
right.
a child.
Right. I that stuff is so hard for me to.
And if you guys were to talk to her, you wouldn't believe how normal, right? She was so normal. I'm like, did you go to therapy? No.
No?
No therapy. Right. That was me. I go,
I haven't been abducted and I need therapy.
Hello?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's crazy. But those are the kind of things.
It is fascinating.
It is. Isn't it fascinating? Yeah. It really is. All right. And let's just quickly talk about your book. You published a book.
I did.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Is there anything you haven't done yet?
Yes.
Good. We're going to get to the bucket list in a
minute. Yes, there's a lot of things.
But tell me about the book. It went to number one.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. New York Times bestseller.
Yes. You're a New York Times bestseller.
It was so surreal. You know, when my lit agent even asked, approached me about it, I was like, I have nothing.
Isn't it weird just to say what you just said?
Yeah.
When my lit agent.
I know.
Isn't it weird?
It is
it's
weird.
It's so weird.
It's not weird because I was in those circles, but obviously on the other side of the desk. But saying it as, you know, a client, it is weird. But she said, you know, are you interested? And I'm like, why? Writing a book now? I don't think I have anything to say.
Apparently you did.
And she's like, really? You sure? And I'm like, yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like, yes, we all have lived a particular amount of life, but what am I going to bring to the table? So it really took me a minute to realize that, like, oh, okay, so all my life lessons are shaping me to be who I am, right, today. And that, okay, if I can show everybody how they've changed me, whether it's about, you know, an abusive stepfather who I've forgiven and, you know, coming from very humble beginnings, but that every single thing doesn't happen to me, but for me, then okay. Then okay, let's write about it.
So in other words, you're going to write it as not the victim.
Right.
That's what you were looking to do.
Right.
To not be the victim when you talked about your anxiety or
right.
your depression
right.
or your panic attacks.
Right.
There just wasn't going to be any victimizing to
no,
it.
No, because the thing is...
I've read some of it and I totally did not get any victimizing.
Well, I love that.
No,
I'm glad.
You really wrote it as a... almost as a help book.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a help book.
It
to
helped
help
me
people.
To write it, you know, and so.
Very cathartic, I'm
yeah,
sure,
for sure.
To write it. Because in the book, you do talk about dating.
Mm-hmm.
You do talk about depression.
Mm-hmm.
You really let it out there.
Yeah. I mean, I went through a lot. And when you're pursuing.
And you've been married before, right?
I have. I was married for about 5.5 years to an amazing human being.
Me too, but he wasn't so amazing. But whatever.
But here's the thing. That like every single person that comes, I believe, every single person that comes into our life is either for us to learn, to teach, or to grow. And
I'm right there with you,
know,
your sister.
I'm grateful for every
experience.
There's
a lid for every pot, and we need
a
different
car for every driver.
That's right. There you go.
That's right.
I totally agree with you. So you went on and you talked all about it. And are you dating now? Do you have a boyfriend now?
I do not have a boyfriend now.
Hello, Z. Just thinking. Are you interested?
I mean, they better be amazing. Yes.
See that?
Yeah.
I mean, she loves herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. They better have a job. That's
well,
what
okay,
I
that's
say.
That's Hello? Standard.
Well, some people.
My mom
don't
likes
care.
To say the three C's: a career, a car, and cash.
I'm in.
She said, if a man doesn't have those
mom.
Things, don't even talk to him.
I need to meet your mom. I love her. The three C's.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm using that.
Yeah.
The three C's.
You can do a
car. Wait, car,
a career,
cash,
and
career.
And a car, career,
wait,
and
is
cash.
Is your mom still in Gainesville?
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to bring her out here. She needs to be out
She's
here.
She's a hoot. Yeah.
She gives some good advice.
She
I'll
sure
tell
does.
You that. Because my grandma used to say, there's a lid for every pot. So every time I got dumped, don't worry, another lid will come.
No, but and that's the thing. Absolutely. Like, I think we attach so much, and I know I have internalized breakups and thinking that I was the problem, I was the issue. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
Two people.
Yeah. Also, not everybody's for forever.
Right.
You know?
I agree with
so,
you for sure on
yeah.
that. Okay, bucket list.
Oh my goodness. I have several of them. I'd love to do a Broadway musical.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
How perfect.
Yeah. I'd love to have a production company.
Already checked.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It's
half
not,
check.
It's a half check, but I, you know, pie in the sky until it happens. I'd love to sing a national anthem at a big
Why haven't you? Because no one knew you could sing like
well,
you
no,
can sing.
Well, no, we've tried to, but I just, my schedule and things just didn't line up.
Which
so.
One? A baseball game you'd like to do it at? Or a hockey game? Where would you like
honestly,
to do it?
Honestly, probably baseball.
Dodgers? Or would you like to go to Florida and do, what are they,
I think
the
I would love to do
Who
Dodgers.
Are
yeah, Marlins are
Marlins,
in Florida.
Marlins, right?
I think the Dodgers would be cool.
Well, I think we can make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when it's the right time, for sure.
I caught the first pitch for an opening day game.
Oh, yeah?
Yes,
was
Gary.
Were you nervous?
Gary Bryan, my co-host on the morning show at K-Earth, he threw it out from the where I was on the mound. Is that what you call it? Is that where I was? I don't know. Baseball.
Well, the pitcher throws to the home plate.
So I was on the home plate in 5-inch pink heels.
Oh my God, cute.
Yeah, with a pink glove. And honest, true. And he was out there and he threw it and he threw it high and I jumped and I caught it. And let me tell you, what a wild thing to hear 40,000 people
I can't
scream,
imagine.
Yeah. Right? And here's what we did. There's a park across the street from here, you know, the La Brea Tar Pits.
Sure.
He took me out there and taught me to catch. And he kept backing me, back up, back, back. I was almost in with the tar pits. And literally, I kept catching it so far away. But by the time we got there, I go, oh, there's a piece of cake. But man,
it's far.
It is far, and it is nerve-wracking. So when you say you want to sing the national anthem, I'm thinking, I'm just catching a ball and I'm having a breakdown. Right. You are brave, lady.
Well, I mean, you
that's a song, dude.
Yeah, right.
Can you sing it? I mean, not now. I mean,
yes. I mean, in general. Is probably one of the toughest songs. But yeah, yeah, I think I can.
And would you go up high?
No.
Or would you probably stay?
I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Because, you know, the bar has been set with Whitney Houston.
Listen, nobody's going to ever touch Miss Houston.
Just saying. Let's be honest.
And that's okay. But guess what? That's okay, too. That's okay,
I mean,
too.
I think you would do a beautiful job.
Yeah, just something I've always wanted to do.
All right. And
and write an episode of This Is Us.
Oh,
or co-write an episode.
Time out.
I would love to do that.
Can you do that? I thought Dan had every single episode, even your last episode of the very last season he's written.
They have it. No, they don't have it written. They have it sort of mapped out. So nothing is completely...
Do you all know?
Yes.
Oh, well, that was nice that he told you all.
Yeah.
And how does he know that that's when it's going to end?
Because they have an incredible timeline of exactly what they want to happen when they want it to happen.
And so what is it? Season 6 it goes away?
That's the whisper that'll be our last season, but who knows?
Right? Yeah. I mean, if it's doing really well, don't you think Dan could come up with another storyline or two?
Yes, but I don't think people understand. Not only do they have to write for commercials. We only get 42 minutes. It's network. There's so many particular stipulations and regulations. Also, there are 18 episodes, and that's a lot.
Yeah, usually series orders are 13, right?
Yes.
And then a back order if they get right.
And sometimes, but also, there's so much that we tackle in the show that
it's heavy duty.
Would
you guys be okay with it ending in season 6, or would you all like to maybe go?
I mean,
you know, like Modern Family, they kept going and said they were going to stop, but they kept going and going.
I mean, I honestly, whatever is meant to happen will happen, and I'll be okay with it, but.
Well, clearly, you're going to be okay.
Well, I think with Dan, he's like, we want to end on a great note, not like, you know, sort of just fizzling out. No one wants the fizzle.
And is the ending a great note? I know you can't tell us anything, but
I think
so. Are you happy with it?
Yeah.
Are you happy where Kate ends up?
Yeah.
And how about you have, for those of you who missed the season finale, which you shouldn't have. How dare you? You get to take your baby home.
Yeah, 28 weeks.
28 weeks, well, and you got to take your baby home.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. Do you know anything that's coming?
Yes.
Can you at least tell us, is the baby going to be okay? Do we at least get to know that?
I know that things are coming.
Well, that's like winter is coming with Game of Thrones.
That's
what is that about?
That's right.
Things are coming. What things are
things,
coming?
Things.
You can't say anything, huh?
Mm-mm.
That Dan boy, he's got them locked up for good.
Well, because he knows we want to keep our jobs.
That's
when you have
true.
A job like this, yeah, he'll do whatever you can to keep it.
It's a really terrific, terrific show. It really is.
Thank you.
And I'm
I
not saying
so.
That because
I think so too. Because I'm an audience. Like I'm a fan.
Do you watch it?
Yes. Donnie and I watch it together.
You guys really do?
Yeah.
I love you that you and you're cool. How do you like look at yourself and critique yourself? I should have said it that way.
Yes, every time. But I realize that, like, you know, it's a collaborative art and there are takes that the director thinks is more appropriate and I just...
You go with it.
You got to.
And you're an easy client. You are a director's dream.
Well, I mean, it's not about me. It's really about the story.
But not everybody feels like that, Chrissy.
Well, yeah, that's
okay. That's pretty cool that you're like that.
Yeah.
That's probably why you're going to work all your life.
Well,
God willing, knock on wood.
Yes.
All right, well, we talked about the clothing line. That's going to be possibly coming, right?
Yeah, I
would hope. Any minute that I would see something from you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else you want to talk about before we say bye-bye? I'm loving this conversation.
I know, we're
with
just chit-chatting.
I just love you. I just think you're a really cool chick.
Thanks.
And you'd be the kind of friend that I'd hang with.
Right, because we're just real.
Yeah, I mean, you're real.
Yeah, I'm definitely real.
People meet you and probably don't think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, I didn't know you were going to be nice.
You know what? I sat next to Tom Hanks and his lovely wife, Rita Wilson, who's
coming
to do.
Oh, I love Rita.
She loves you to death.
Oh.
I told her you were coming to do the podcast. She's coming May 1st.
Oh, I love her.
To do the podcast. And those are the two nicest people. She's a singer, too, of course, as you know.
Yeah.
The two nicest people in the world. So real and down to earth. And it's really great when you meet someone who you love on TV and they're as great and as real as you.
Aww.
And I appreciate that.
Thanks.
And I hope that all your dreams come true.
Hmm.
Is there anything else that you want to say, get rumor, clear up a rumor or anything out there?
No, I don't think so. But
I mean, people, she wore a bathing suit in case you missed the front way before 38.
Goodness gravy.
All right.
Ushered in.
So nothing else?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think to be rude enough, I've milked all I could get.
Thank you
so much. I love
you,
Chrissy Metz, and really thank you for carving out the time to do this podcast.
Of course, thanks for having me.
We'll see you soon.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.